Hi, I'm Father Chris Alar, the Marian Fathers here at the National Shrine of the Divine Mercy, and we are honored to have you back with us here on Living Divine Mercy. How did God prepare the world for the coming of the Messiah? It was through the Holy Spirit. When the Church reads the Old Testament, she searches for what the Spirit wants to tell us about Christ, since the Holy Spirit is the one who has spoken through the prophets. And the Holy Spirit's spouse, Mary, is critical as well, because she was there in the upper room when the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost, which is coming up this Sunday. When I was in the Holy Land, I went to the upper room where Mary and the apostles hid in fear of the Jews. That little place is incredibly important because four of the seven sacraments were given there. Yes, the Eucharist, Holy Orders, Confession, and Confirmation. The Eucharist and the ordination of the first priest happened at the Last Supper in the upper room. And the grace of the sacrament of confession also happened in the upper room in John 20:23, when Jesus appeared and told the apostles, the first priests, that whose sins they forgive are forgiven, and whose sins they retain are retained in heaven. And it's also the place of the sacrament of confirmation, because the Spirit of God came upon the apostles, and they were sealed in the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, which, by the way, means 50. So Pentecost happens 50 days after the resurrection and completes the Easter season. The apostles were now sealed in the Spirit because earlier in that same upper room, Jesus breathed on them to give them the Holy Spirit, like God did when he breathed life into Adam. Now, with the gift of the Holy Spirit, a new creation began, not one bound by sin, but one freed from sin. And it happened, the Bible tells us, on the very first Divine Mercy Sunday. It was when Jesus appeared to the apostles on the first Sunday after Easter and said, "Peace." Peace is not just an absence of war, but a removal of sins and the cleansing of our souls, which happens now on every Divine Mercy Sunday. Then, as we said, this was followed by the sealing of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost a few weeks later. And with the gift of the Holy Spirit, the apostles and us can now be empowered to evangelize, to be going out and telling the world about Jesus and why you want to give your life to him. Thus, the third person of the Trinity, this Holy Spirit, is the one most active in the world today, if we let him. It was in a previous show that we said that we know Christ, that he is the visible image of God the Father. But now we need to point out that it is the Holy Spirit who reveals Christ the Son to us. Jesus tells us this in 1 Corinthians 12:3. No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. This is hard to grasp because the Spirit does not speak by himself, surprisingly. As we said, he has spoken through the prophets. But by the Spirit's power, we hear the Father's word when he speaks. And that word is Jesus himself, the eternal word. So we can see the line here. The Father has been revealed to us by the Son. And now after Pentecost, the Son is fully revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. And we can come now to know each of them through the prayers of our own faith. We know that God the Father and who he is by the Our Father prayer. And we can know the Son, Jesus, by the Jesus Prayer. Remember, Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on me, a poor sinner. He's the one that brings us mercy. And we can come to know the Holy Spirit by the Come Holy Spirit Prayer, which is Come Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and enkindle in them the fire of your love. Now, back to the upper room where Jesus first appeared on the Sunday after Easter, the first Divine Mercy Sunday. He would have appeared to the apostles just as we see him in the Divine Mercy image, because here he is resurrected, and from his heart comes blood and water, just like it did on the cross when the blood and water poured out. But did you know that this blood and water that we see in the Divine Mercy image is the Holy Spirit? Yes, the church is born of blood and water. And in practical terms, this is the same Holy Spirit that was received at Pentecost when the church was born. It was Mary and the apostles who received the Holy Spirit at Pentecost after waiting 9 days in prayer. And it is where we get the tradition of the Novena. Novenas are 9 consecutive days of prayer for a particular intention that represent those 9 days of prayer that Mary and Christ's apostles did. So, and it's also interesting, a representation of the 9 months that Jesus spent in the womb of Mary before his birth. Like Jesus, our head, we, as his body, are also to be born of Mary and the Holy Spirit. So 9 days of prayer thus represented the gestation period prior to the birth of the church on Pentecost. You know, and novenas are powerful because they are persistent prayer. Remember, Jesus said to continually ask, seek, and knock for what we need. And novenas are a great way to do that. Finally, our benevolent Lord is sure to give us many gifts if we open our hearts to receive his Holy Spirit. In fact, we get 7 gifts known as the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, the first 3 seem very similar: wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. What is the difference? Well, they are different. Wisdom is simply knowing the truth, which few seem to do today. Understanding is seeing things as others see them, and thus we can grow in compassion and empathy for the plight of others. And knowledge is to see things as God sees them, basically an illumination of conscience. Now, the other gifts, these include counsel, which is the ability to make good decisions. We have fortitude, which is courage. We have piety, which is proper reverence, like at Mass, having that natural reverence. And then we have fear of the Lord, which is not servile fear. It's more fear of offending God, more than maybe fear of punishment. Now, once we have these gifts of the Holy Spirit, we can go into the world with these gifts and bear fruit. So we also have the 12 fruits of the Holy Spirit. They are charity, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, generosity, gentleness, faithfulness, modesty, self-control, and chastity. So in other words, the gifts of the Holy Spirit that we are given, especially at confirmation, should not remain dormant in us, but are to be used in the world for us to go out and bear fruit. All who are confirmed are equipped with these gifts of the Holy Spirit, and they have the tools to go out into the world and to live a virtuous and holy life, and thus make it to heaven. Now, speaking of being inspired by the Holy Spirit to go out into the world and teach, let's hear the story of Divine Mercy Academy, a great school of young people in Maryland led by a man by the name of Ali Ghaffari. He truly was led himself by the Holy Spirit to go out and evangelize.
Welcome to Wednesday. What's our mission?
Making saints.
What's our mission?
Making saints.
What's our mission?
Making saints.
TMA on three. One, two, three.
Yay!
Making saints might seem like an unorthodox curriculum for teachers. But then, Divine Mercy Academy in Pasadena, Maryland, is not your ordinary school. It's also the end of a personal journey for its founder, Ali Ghaffari, who at one time in his life had little use for organized religion, and even less for belief in God.
I just remember walking past a church service and people, seeing people in there and just thinking that they're all brainwashed.
That's because discerning any sort of divine presence in his life seemed impossible, starting with his mother. She gave Ali life, but as a struggling single mom, could offer little more.
She got pregnant at 15 and had me when she was 16. My mom then married my dad, and they tried to make a go of it. They had one more child, my brother, about 20 months younger than I, and did the best they could. They lasted about 3 years, and then they split up. She got a job as a bartender, so we moved around every year. We were never in the same place. We always had roommates. My mom had become an alcoholic and a drug addict, and so we always had a revolving door of men coming to the house. We were on government assistance. My mom attempted suicide when I was in around first grade, so my brother and I went to live with an aunt and uncle for a year. She went to rehab, and she'd come back from time to time, and then she would pray with us. So when she came out, you know, she had more faith going through a 12-step program.
Then, Ali's mom met Dan.
They got married, and Dan came in and he instilled a sense of structure in our lives, an emphasis on doing well in school and working hard. He put us in sports, and he coached us in our sports, and he expected us to get good grades and to do our very best in everything we did.
Private school led to college with a new goal in mind.
I was going to be a surgeon, and an atheist surgeon, and I was just going to do the best I could in that path.
It was then that Dan introduced Ali to Paul. They sat together on a back porch overlooking the hills of Vermont, discussing Ali's life.
And that evening, you know, he said, I could have thrown rocks at you, but I came to throw you a rope, and I want to bring you up. And he said, do you believe in God? And I said, no, I don't see any evidence for God around. And he said, evidence is everywhere. You just have to have eyes to see it. And so that set me off about 2 years of just soul searching about who, you know, what's the right way to live.
Paying for medical school, though, was now top priority. A friend, an army surgeon, suggested a way. Why not let the military pay for it? Ali joined the Navy and soon worked his way up to a childhood fantasy, flying F-18 jets. His career showed him the face of war, and Ali patrolled oil platforms in the Persian Gulf, Iraq, and then in Afghanistan, in support of operations in Helmand Province. The next year saw medical school go away, but also marriage to Mary, who converted to Catholicism, and starting a family. It was also time for Paul to come back into Ali's life.
And he said, by the way, how are you doing with your faith? And I said, well, I've decided that I believe in God now. He said, does the truth comport itself to us or us to the truth? I said, well, gosh, we have to comport ourselves to the truth. That has to be the answer. But I know it's not in the Catholic faith. For the next 8 months or so, we went back and forth via email just debating all the tenets of the Catholic Church. I pulled all these things up and I threw them at him. And Paul was like this Jedi master who just calmly deflected each of these things left and right, and it was infuriating for me. After about 8 months of this, I said, if he can't beat him, join him. So I said, teach me. And so he said, all right, well, let's start with the Greeks. The Greeks teach you how to think, in how to recognize truth. And in fact, you know, in the salvation history, Athens and Jerusalem come together at the time of Christ in this beautiful philosophy, which seeks, they just want to know what truth is. And that is just the absolute genius and beauty of the Catholic faith. And for me, that's the mark of the truth. And I wouldn't want anything else other than that.
Moving from city to city working for the Navy, Ali felt a certain restlessness. He was searching for a school with the kind of classical focus that had so appealed to him, but also where religious instruction was more than just one more subject. While he was teaching at the Naval Academy, Mary and Ali found a nearby tutorial that fit the bill. But with both of them working full-time, its two-day-a-week instruction was not enough. An administrator told them there was no way it could be expanded to 5 days a week.
But then she looked right at Ali and said, but someone needs to, because there is a need in this area. And so we came home, and Ali kind of told me that he was thinking that maybe God was calling him. My initial human reaction was, oh man, we just were so unqualified, so unprepared. This isn't going to work.
But the idea would not go away. To learn more, Ali attended an Institute for Catholic Classical Liberal Education conference.
There was a woman who came, sat next to him and said, hey, Ali, you know, I hear you want to start a school. I want to help you.
And that moment, it just tipped me over the fence from just sitting on the fence into doing it. And I said, all right, yeah, let's do it.
We really had thought about having Saint Kateri Tekakwitha as our patron saint. Of course, that's kind of a mouthful, especially for young children. And we were just sitting around again, trying to put our human will on this. And all of a sudden, the same woman who had approached Ali at the ICLE conference and said, I want to help you start the school, she was sitting back, and all of a sudden she just said, Divine Mercy Academy. And everybody in the room got silent and said, yes.
As a result of all of the obstacles that we've had to overcome in building and founding the school and then seeing its growth, I can't tell you how many times I've had to say, Jesus, I trust in you. And so personally, my faith has grown and my trust in the Lord and my expectation that He will provide for us has just gone off the charts.
Divine Mercy Academy started small with a handful of teachers and students in the basement of a Lutheran church. And once, when facilities were not available for 2 weeks, Ali and Mary held classes at a location they knew would be open, their home.
We had little classrooms set up in all of our different areas. So in our dining room, we had some kids, and we had some others in a room in the basement, and we had some kids out in the garage. And then we also would set up things outside, like kickball, or I guess four square, and we had a bounce house at the time. And so our neighbors said our house looked like a circus, because there was just...
The Battle of Hastings, 1066, the Crusades, St. Dominic, St. Francis and St. Clair.
The history is the core, and then we wrap our literature in our logic, grammar, all of those things around the historical time frame that the kids happen to be in their particular year. So that may, they will bring in whatever classic works that belong, that pertain to that particular time period.
We really wanted them to know that God is part of everything that they do, and not just one subject once a week or once a day, that it was through God that we see everything in our world, that we see science, that we learn science, that is through God that math, you know, comes to life. Yes, we want them to learn the academics. We want them to be fully functional humans, but our mission is to make them saints. Our mission is to get them to know and love and serve God throughout their whole life.
Divine Mercy Academy now has 120 students and is looking to expand. Oh, and whatever happened to Paul? He and Ali still collaborate as authors of a book exploring the modern day predictions found in J.R.R. Tolkien's writings.
The goal of classical education is to create people of virtue, right? And ask the big questions. What is it to live a good life, and to become people who then influence the culture in a positive way. And so that'll be, I think, what I'll do for the rest of my life.
Well, what a great story, seeing so many awesome young kids and giving us hope for the future. Now let's go back to scripture where we can hear Father Jim read to us from the Bible about the coming of the Holy Spirit.
When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly a sound came from heaven, like the rush of a mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributed and resting on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. The universe was created by God, who breathed into the first man and woman the breath of his spirit, so that humanity could know and love him. But humanity disobeyed God and lost the indwelling gift of his grace. Through his death and resurrection, however, Jesus won back the gift of sanctifying grace, and we can now have the Spirit alive within us. He now stands ready to pour it out upon anyone who repents of sin and trusts in his mercy through the sacraments of baptism and reconciliation. We can receive our own Pentecost, an invigorating breath of the Spirit, if we open our hearts to Jesus with repentance and trust. This new life from God can enable us to bear any burden, love the unlovable, and live faithfully in the light of Christ. As St. Faustina writes, "Once we open ourselves to the influence of the Holy Spirit, He Himself will fulfill what is lacking in us."
Now let's meet Amirian Deacon Jason Lewis, my good friend who I spent time with in seminary and is getting prepared to be ordained to the priesthood.
Well, I'm a convert, so I had a pretty radical conversion into the church through Our Lady of Medjugorje, actually. And my dad and I came into the church together with my brother, and I knew almost immediately, I felt a sense of a call right then when I was going through the process of the RCIA process and confirmation. But I thought there's no way that God could be calling me based upon my own past and my sinfulness and all of my inadequacies and ineptitude. But I did experience the sense of a call then, and the Lord would continue to pursue me, and I would eventually end up at Franciscan University in its pre-theologate program, studying philosophy and theology to get ready for seminary. Well, the very first Marian that I ever met was our late Father Yavorsky, who was actually the head of, he was running our pension in Fatima. And I was visiting Our Lady in Fatima on a pilgrimage, and I didn't have a place to stay. And so they sent me over to visit with Father Yavorsky, and he told me about his community. And we actually had a parish in Greensboro, North Carolina at that time. And he encouraged me, "You have to go see my community. When you go back to the United States, you're from North Carolina, they're in Greensboro. You need to go see them there." And I was like, yeah, Father. Okay, I'll go check them out. Thinking, I was kind of dismissive of him, to be honest, and thinking there's no chance that I'm gonna go 3 hours away to his parish in Greensboro. But lo and behold, I ended up going to Franciscan University. So I met our Father Joe Roche. I met our then novice, or maybe he was in pre-theologate, Don Calloway, Father Don Calloway, and then Father John Larson and a few other Marians as well, because they were living in Steubenville at that time. But the truth of the matter is I didn't really give the Marians a whole lot of thought at that particular point in time, until a few years later when I met Father Kaz Falik. And I went to confession with him one first Friday in an evening in a parish. And in that confession and in the confessional, I felt as if I was sitting with Jesus himself, Jesus the Divine Mercy, because he just oozed love and divine mercy in that confession. And it was about 3 weeks later, I needed to go to confession again. And so I was at Franciscan University going to confession again, and I spotted Father Kaz. I was like, oh, I need to go to confession with that guy. And so I did. I ended up going to confession with him a second time, and then I knew right then, like, he had to be my spiritual director. So I started meeting with Father Kaz, and then he gave me a diary of St. Faustina. He never pushed the Marians, never encouraged me towards the Marians, never talked about the Marians as a vocation. He knew that I was discerning. He just gave me a diary. And lo and behold, we kept meeting week after week, and I saw in Father Kaz the charism of the Divine Mercy and Our Lady. And when he gave me the diary, that just kind of sealed the deal as I started meditating upon it. So that's the long story short. It was through Father Kaz and the diary and the charism of Our Lady that really drew me to the Marians of the Immaculate Conception.
Oh, if souls would only be willing to listen, at least a little, to the voice of conscience and the voice that is the inspirations of the Holy Spirit. I say at least a little, because once we open ourselves to the influence of the Holy Spirit, He Himself will fulfill what is lacking in us. Once, after Holy Communion, I heard these words, "You are our dwelling place." At that moment, I felt in my soul the presence of the Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I felt that I was the temple of God. Pentecost, June 5th, 1938, renewal of vows. I got up much earlier than usual and went to the chapel, steeping myself in the love of God. Before receiving Holy Communion, I silently renewed my religious vows. After Holy Communion, the infinite love of God swept over me. My soul was in communion with the Holy Spirit, who is the same Lord as the Father and the Son.
Well, thank you again, everybody, for joining us for this episode on Pentecost. Remember the power of the Holy Spirit and be with us next week as we talk about Mary and the Feast of the Visitation and what happened. Until then, may Almighty God bless you and yours, the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.